two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. You can be part of the conversation. Ask your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Maria and Ton here to take your questions. And Ton, the next texter, wants to know how they would care for a viburnum if they want to reduce its size.
Wait until after it's done blooming. Viburnums, the most familiar one we have is snowball bush, but there are many others that are just gorgeous. So on the viburnums, what you would do is just wait till after they're done blooming. And this is right after they're done. And then you would go in and take about 20 to 25% of the branches out toward the base. So you go in as far as you can with a Sawzall or your loppers and just take those branches out. And that will reduce the size by at least a third. And then you can just give it a light haircut after that.
All right. Do most of the viburnums bloom in the spring?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So late spring then after they're done.
Correct.
Okay. Next question is, can you make a recommendation for veggies to be grown in low tunnels? Are there any cold season plants that people can plant right now?
There are. I, you know, wish they would have been started 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there are. I would recommend maybe starting them in the house where there's cooler temperatures, maybe in the garage under a grow light or something, and then hardening them off. And when you put them in the low tunnel, they will do okay for the next maybe month or so. But if it's just a low tunnel, they generally will be killed out sometime in December and January. So it's getting to the point that it's a little late. Now, if you had...
They weren't specific, so I kind of wonder if they were actually looking to do this next year.
If they're wanting to do it in the spring, absolutely. There's lots of things. You would start your things in January to put them out in mid-February, and you'd want to have those hardened off. And there's a lot of a process to this. USU has several fact sheets, but any of the mustard greens, lettuce, radishes, any of those cool season crops can be started in a low tunnel at least a month before when you traditionally would have. And if you have a good one that will offer a little more protection, maybe a little sooner. Now, as far as low tunnels go, besides temperature, sunlight has a lot to do with it. And so growing things in December and January also is hard just because of a lack of sunlight. But when day lengths start to increase in February, you really can grow some pretty nice cool season crops.
I have really wanted to get into doing these low tunnels. If you and I were to do a video, when would we start that? Would we do that in late January or when would we have? I want Caitlin to make note of this because I think it's something that we should do. I think a lot of people are interested in really extending their seasons.
Could we do it in like July and pretend it's cold?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So we would want to probably film something in February. Maybe we could start
Would we need to start the plants in January?
Yeah, we'd probably want to start them in late January.
Okay, and then we can talk more about that with our listeners as we go through that process.
Yeah.
So we will be planting some things in late January there, and I get excited about that. You know, I'm always excited about trying something new.
Yeah, it's fun to do.
Okay, so the next texter says they have red twig dogwoods, and when should they trim them, and how close to the ground should they go?
Any trimming that we're doing should really wait for spring. or at least late winter of next year. Red-toothed dogwood are pretty durable, so they could maybe, if they had to, they could do it now and it would most likely recover. But it's easy to give those things too many haircuts and they'll lose their ability to grow a lot of leaves, and then it just kills them out. And so I would use that renewal pruning technique where you take out 25% of the branches, and the red twig dogwood are aggressive enough that you could probably take out 30% of them at least, and then give them a light haircut. But I would give that until February or March of next year.
Right. It's hard not to still get excited about doing cleanup and trimming and things when the weather's nice like this.
It is.
Yeah. In fact, that clematis, that fall bloomer that I showed you earlier this year, I'm wondering if I can just kind of, so all of the foliage is really like falling off of the fence right now. Would I have a hard time would it be bad if I just kind of trimmed it back so at least all the dead is off of that at this point?
Oh, get the dead out of it. Absolutely.
But I'm going to get some live stuff too, I'm afraid.
If you get some of the live stuff, that's just a consequence. And if it were minimal, it wouldn't cause a lot of damage. But if you went in and just wholesale haircutted it, then that would be a lot more damaging potentially.
Okay,
to
so at
it.
Least trim off all of that stuff.
Yeah, you can get
it's
all
really
the
tough
out.
That because all the dead gets stuck amidst the vine, so it's really tough.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's one of the drawbacks to growing things on fences, and you sometimes have to snip every six or 8 inches to get that dead branch out, mm-hmm. that weaved back and forth.
Yeah, it looks really terrible. I'm like, I think I need to do something with that today. Next person is asking, how do they take care of the perennial lupin?
Perennial lupin should have died back by now, and so I would just cut it and by 2 or 3 inches above the ground, and then it should sprout back in the spring. Now, lupins are a little bit shorter lived perennials, but they do self-sow, and so you a lot of times will get baby lupins, not professor lupins, but little baby lupin plants. And they will grow up, and you can kind of sort those out and move them where you want to.
Yeah, this is a good time, though, to take away all that dead from the perennials that are in your yard.
It is.
Okay, the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We're going to take a break. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gotta love Saturdays. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next caller is wondering whether they should wait until springtime to cut back their raspberries. I should say texter is wondering.
They can. You can do them now or you can do them in early spring. So sometime in mid-February to mid-March, either of those would be okay.
So my raspberries have become really just scraggly. I'm going to plant a new plant. What is your favorite?
Depends on what you're doing, but
we just eat them. We don't do anything else with them.
I would do probably polka. One that will give you berries in the summer and the fall.
Oh.
And it has really good flavor, and it starts to bear a little earlier than many other fall-bearing varieties, and so you'll get a better crop.
So I know right now people are wondering, yeah, but what if I do a lot with my raspberries, then what would you say your favorite is?
Well, how about a good productive one? The favorite things always get so sticky.
No, but I just wanted to know your favorite. It doesn't mean it'll be their
favorite.
If I
was in it for something,
favorite.
For good production, I sound like Stefan. If you're a tourist from New York, so if you are wanting one that will just give you maximum production that has good flavor, then there's another that's related to this one in the series called Polana, P-O-L-A-N-A.
Okay.
And both of these were developed in Poland, but they seem to grow very well in the Utah climate. And so this Polana is even more productive than Polka. And it bears earlier in the fall, so you'll get even more berries. But according to USU taste testers, the flavor wasn't quite as good as Polka, but it was very, very productive. And so if you're making jams and jellies and things, oftentimes it's nothing that a little sugar won't fix.
I was going to say, sugar always helps.
Yes, but it has a good flavor, and it's just productive. It produces like mad in good situations, but the Polka is a little more flavorful and a little less productive, and so you can kind of take your pick on those.
Okay, great to know. Sorry to put you on the spot on your favorite,
it's all
but
good.
It's just one of those things I personally wanted to know. So next texter wants to know, when do they cut back their tall grass? Now, I'm wondering what exactly they're talking about, ornamental grasses, I'm assuming.
I would assume so. And so on these, I honestly would just go ahead and cut them back. I've cleaned up enough landscapes to know they become a big pain to clean up in the spring.
It's really
they get
true.
Knocked over, and so.
And then those big tall grasses, the dead ones just blow all over your yard.
They do. Yeah. So I would just go ahead and get my hedge trimmer and get that cut back. Depending on how tall they are, you want to cut them back to down to anywhere from 3 inches for the smaller ones, or even 2 inches, on upwards of a foot to 18 inches for the larger ones.
Next person is talking about Russian sage. They want to know how to keep the shoots from spreading and taking over the flower bed. They're wondering if they can dig around it and chop the roots. They say they love it a lot and the bees love it, but they don't want it taking over their flower bed.
Honestly, I would say don't plant it.
Okay, but it's planted already.
It does. You know, if it walks like a skunk and smells like
a skunk, it's
always
going to take over, huh?
It is. So there are some dwarf Russian sages out there that get a couple of feet tall, 2 to 2.5 feet, and those would be less aggressive. You could look for those, but you still need to plan on giving it room.
Okay, so it's going to take over the flower bed. It's going to be tough to keep it cut back.
It is. Those Russian sages are something that need to be planted in areas that can naturalize a little bit. You don't want to overwater it because it is quite drought hardy, and too much water just makes it spread more. But it is one that blooms from May or June on till frost, and it survives about anything you can throw at it.
But it needs its space.
It does.
All right. Next person wants to know how to take care of Veronica Speedwell.
So this one's a little tougher because I don't know what one.
Mm-hmm.
There are upright speedwells, and then there's ground cover speedwells.
Okay. I think you have time to cover both.
Okay. So on the upright varieties, you just treat those like a perennial, and they look quite similar to plants like May Night Salvia. If folks are unfamiliar with them,
they can be used. I'm going to have to look this one up.
Yeah, they can be used a little bit interchangeably as far as their look. Their flower times are slightly different. So you just grow those, and when the time comes, you can divide them in early spring and just cut back or deadhead the flowers and cut them back in the fall after they've been hit by hard frost. Now, on the ground cover, it's one you just let go. Now, if it does die back in the fall, you can go in there and carefully trim it back with a string trimmer. You don't want to be a little careful with such things, but if it does die back, you can cut it back with a string trimmer and then leaf blow it out. But oftentimes, especially if we get snow cover, they don't die out.
Okay, I think we have time for one more here. This person was given a hydrangea for Mother's Day. Is it worth planting, and what is the care after transplanting?
Oh, it's not worth planting now if they've kept it in the house.
Because it would need to harden off. It was just going to go into shock, right?
Yeah, it would go into shock. And so if it's one of these florist hydrangeas, they're oftentimes not completely cold hardy here. And so if they want to try to keep it going in a bright location through the winter, they can do that. They're extremely difficult to keep as a houseplant long term. Now, for some reason, if it's outside in the pot and it was allowed to go dormant with the winter that's coming, mm-hmm. absolutely plant it. That's going to be the best thing. But if it's in the house right now and you tried to bring it outside, even with hardening it, I'm afraid you would kill it.
Okay, so if they were able to keep it alive through the winter, they could plant it in the spring, though?
In a shady location on the north side of their house.
Okay. Next person is talking about grasses, and what about the newly planted Carl Forrester? They planted it the first week of October. Is it still okay to trim that one now?
It would be fine to trim it. I would put a little bit of mulch around it, a couple inches around the crown, not on top of it, to help protect the soil a little bit. Sometimes those grasses, it's not that they won't survive the winter just fine, but they're a little happier being transplanted in the spring and summer where they have some time to get their roots established. Now, with the warmer weather we had, I suspect it's done some of that. But just to be safe, it wouldn't hurt to get an inexpensive bag of bark mulch and just put it around the base a couple inches deep.
Okay. Is it okay to trim back a well-established vinca right now?
I wouldn't. It stimulates growth, and you're wanting that stuff to go dormant. So if they need to trim it back, I would let it bloom in the spring because they have gorgeous flowers. After it's done blooming, you can take your string trimmer or a lawnmower to it and give it a talking to that way, and it will recover. But if you do that, you need to make sure that any adjacent grass that's there doesn't have a chance to establish while your vinca is recovering, because once you get grass and vinca, it's almost impossible to get rid of, and that goes for any ground cover.
Okay, the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. When we come back following the top of the hour news, we're also going to talk about poinsettias and how to care for them. A lot of people are already buying their poinsettias, beautiful ones in the stores. You've actually done a video on poinsettia care that you're going to share with us, Tom.
Yes, it should be posted already, but we get lots of calls this time of year on why poinsettias are unhealthy.
And that's just one of the topics following the top of the hour news and taking more of your calls and questions at 575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Have a great morning.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.